Join executive producer and former Victoria's Secret model, Summer Helene, and get the royal tour as the Duchess of Hollywood takes you behind the scenes and gives you an insider's guide to Hollywood. Get the scoop and all the dirt and listen in on location with Summer Helene as she guides you through the entertainment world. Summer will challenge everything you think you know about Hollywood. Because of its mature content, Behind the Scenes with Summer Helene is recommended for an adult audience.
Behind the Scenes, I'm your host, Summer Helene. We are not exactly on location today. I am hiding in Palm Springs, California, and I have the flu. I feel miserable. But I wanted to say, guys, welcome to the show. Thank you, friends. Thank you, fans. Before we start, all of us here at Behind the Scenes want to offer an apology to listeners from last week's show. One of our guests made a comment that was inappropriate, and for that, we are truly sorry. We'll not ask that guest to appear on the show again. Please know we love you, we respect you, our listeners, and we do not tolerate inappropriate comments from anyone, guest or listener. Thank you for being a loyal listener. We appreciate your tolerance and your forgiveness. We have a fantastic show this week. We have Cindy Honig on. We have other guests on. We have John on. I know you guys love Cindy. There's a whole bunch going on in news today. Rowdy Roddy Piper, best known for WWE, just passed away. And I think that's a little heartbreaking for me. I mean, you know, I love the Hogan era, the Hulk Hogan era and all of those people. So it's a little sad for me. I'm sure it's sad for many people and many of his fans. I mean, Rowdy Roddy Piper was fantastic. John, you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Yeah, you're talking about Roddy, huh?
I am.
I just watched the coolest video of him with Joe Bob Briggs. It was really a nice video of them appearing together on Monster Vision or something on TNT from years ago. But it was really a nice little thing to see again. So
it is sad. He's young for that to happen.
Yeah.
We have Cindy on this week, who's always popular. Cindy, you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can. So we have you and we have John. We have other guests as well. Right now I'm 2 inches from losing my voice. So I quit. You guys can run the show now.
You can measure that?
I don't know if we could handle that. What do you think, John?
I'm trying to figure out how do you measure losing your voice. 2 inches.
I'm 2 inches. I'm 2 seconds.
Oh, okay. 2 seconds. Okay. 2 inches. Never mind.
John?
Not a good thing when you've got a radio show.
Hey, it's summertime, so.
It's hot. We'll blame the heat for John's.
John, are you in Arizona?
I don't know what we'll do. Yeah, I'm in Arizona, but I don't know what we'll blame when it gets cold.
Can't wait.
If it's cold, let's cold, blame the cold.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you know, summer's half over. I mean, come on. We'll be seeing Christmas trees in the stores next. If this went any faster.
Hey, John, I'm going to be out there in Arizona in August the 23rd. Are you going to be in Sedona?
23rd. I'll be in Arizona. I don't know if it'll be Sedona or not, but
I'm going to be in Sedona.
Because I'm going to L.A., I think, in mid-August.
Oh, wish I were going with you.
Yeah, but by the 23rd, I don't know. I have to look and see if I'm back by then. I think I will be.
Okay, I'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, let me know.
So I've got to say, I know I'm not tracking too well. I'm going to ask you guys, we haven't had a lot of controversy this week, which makes our job a little harder.
It does, doesn't it?
When we don't have celebrities to pick on.
I don't know. I watched. Did you see the Bruce or the Caitlin show or whatever debuted? Yes.
What happened with that?
Oh, boy.
I got to tell you. Have you ever seen This Is Spinal Tap?
No, I didn't.
Yes. Boy, that's an old one. Yes.
Okay. This is the Spinal Tap of reality shows.
What happened?
That's so true.
Because it's just you just watch it and think, oh my god, this is almost like a parody of a reality show. You know, you got Caitlin introducing her support group, which are all employees, by the way. You know, you got mom out smoking on the deck and coming in and looking all dismayed, talking about how proud she is. I mean, honestly, the Spinal Tap guys, the creative people behind that, couldn't have couldn't have done a more better job if they had tried to do this show. I think that's my opinion.
And John, don't you feel like that? Don't you feel like the show's almost like it's scripted?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's coming from the Kardashian clan.
Yeah.
Oh, everything's scripted in that family.
Of course. And then you have, and the I should not laugh. I mean, bless his heart, her heart. But here's the deal. She stands up. She's 6'2" tall in a gown that costs $5,000. And then she opens her mouth and out comes the Bruce Jenner voice.
Yeah.
That's the confusing part, I think, to a lot of people.
Oh, it's just and she's posting videos of her waking up in the middle of the night with no makeup on. I'm like, hey, it's Bruce. Bruce is back. You know, it's like, wow. Isn't there someone like watching over this going, you know, this may not be a good idea to do this.
Well, part. And also I feel like this heroic act of his, I think, has run its course. I don't know that it's going to be able, and I used to work in television, so I understand how it works. I just don't see how it's going to be able to hold its audience because they keep cramming it down our throats, so much information with the cover stories and the gossip columns and the E! And Entertainment Tonight, and everybody's reporting on her, and then now the new series, and then they're rerunning the Diane Sawyer interview back to back.
Which is not helping.
I know.
But you know what the hilarious thing about this is, and I get in fights with people on Facebook every day about this.
You do.
Is that he's still a guy.
I know.
Well, and half of the people out there, and I mean, I have gay friends who are saying they're on this side. They're like, you know what? This is all a fraud. This is all a fraud. He's still a guy, and they suspect that this is all for publicity.
Well,
they're
running out of stories. Those Kardashian people are running out of content. That's what I think.
They could have a show like The Fugitive with Scott Disick. They could be chasing him all over the world. I think that would be a good. I would watch that. Watching Scott party and running on the run.
Do you really think though that he would get breast augmentation just for publicity?
Who, Bruce?
Yeah.
Or Caitlin or whatever.
No.
You know what? You would be shocked. Personally, myself, no, because I think this is like a huge. I think the guy has lost his mind. Personally, I think.
But he certainly. Let's put it this way. I think he's been tortured. I think he's wanted to do this for a long time. I believe that. I do, and I think he should have become a. Sorry,
we cut off for just a second. I'm not sure what happened.
That's okay. It could have been a surge, one of those surges I hear about.
It was a disturbance in the force.
It was a disturbance. I figure I'm in Palm Springs. Someone started an air conditioner.
Oh, that could be.
Shut down.
But I think that it was timed back to Bruce and Caitlin. I think he's always wanted to do it, but I think it was timed perfectly with the help of handlers. I really do.
And that's why people have this suspicion that this whole thing could be a publicity ruse for a TV show.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to make a decision like this, you're not going to get on TV and do all this stuff. You're going to make a decision. You're going to live with it. You're going to move on. And, you know, you're not going to be a product. I mean, you know, unless you've lost your mind.
Publicist.
Like I said before, it's a big FU to the Kardashians that he spells Caitlin with a C and not a K.
Oh, I think that's great, Don't you love it?
I think he's driven over the edge. And this is like a huge revenge thing. he's getting back at them.
Wouldn't you be driven over the edge if you lived in that family for even a day?
Oh, good Lord. I almost lose my mind seeing a commercial.
I don't
even watch their show. The only thing I watch E! For is The Soup, and they've lost their balls. They don't even make fun of it anymore. So it's like, you know, I'm pretty much done with E!
Well, it's not like the days with Greg Kinnear.
Or, you know, well, the Soup, the Hollywood, True Hollywood Story. Remember those shows? Those were always fascinating.
Yeah, they've really changed the E's really made some changes, I think. Yeah. I like the way it used to be.
The Kardashians are like ISIS in Syria with the E channel. They've just pretty much overrun the whole country and own it.
There's no need anymore for those behind the music shows or behind anything, because we have consistent access to our stars 24/7. So what's the point?
But the True Hollywood Story used to give you the stuff that the publicist wouldn't give you. They would.
Yes.
This would be an unvarnished, open
investigative.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get to find out things about them, and you know what we're getting now is just carefully cultivated press releases that may be the exact opposite. I've reached a point to where, when I get a press release, I believe the exact opposite of what. You know, like Caitlin, the Caitlin thing. Oh, Bruce is turning into a girl. That's why he's shaving his head as an Adam's apple. And the press release says, no, his marriage to Chris is strong as ever. You know, I mean, come on. It's all press releases now.
The truth is, John, and I'm a publicist from a long, long, long time, and I worked in Hollywood a long time. And let me tell you this, press releases is for us to give you information, and it's information that we want. We tell you what to believe.
Is that the most dangerous statement in the world?
It probably is, but we tell the public what we want them to believe, and we word it in a certain way without lying. And yeah, there is some spinning going on, I'm sure, but we try to be as honest as possible. But you just take the facts and you decorate them a bit.
Makes sense. Guys, we're heading on to a break. We will be right back with Behind the Scenes. Thank you, Scott Haskin, for that fabulous music. We'll be right back.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. I'm trying to figure out a throw-up bucket here. I'm sure everyone wanted to know that. Nice. So you'll have to excuse me for a minute. We are on with Cindy Honig, everybody's favorite publicist, and John Kessner, who you guys like better than you like me.
You know, Summer, if you wad up some paper towels and put it in the bottom of the bucket, it doesn't sound as loud.
Okay, that's what we're going to do.
Not the first time I haven't thrown up on the air, but go ahead.
Good to know. See, John threw up on the air, too. I feel less bad. Yeah. Usually I call you guys and go from set and go from here and go from there. In this case, it's just not working. I'm sitting at home on the bed dying. We actually have a very, very interesting guest on today. A friend, someone I know named Marie Lamel, she's an agent. She has a great guy. His name's Patrick. He's been in a ton of stuff. We're going to have him on and give him the third degree, which will be fun. Oh. So I love getting new people on, and I love sicking everyone on them.
Nice.
Now, I'm not going to try and pronounce his last name. I know it's Fachette, but I never get it right. So I'm going to drag Patrick on, and Patrick is going to tell us all about himself, and I am going to go find my bucket. See how that works? I'm feeling so good about myself right now.
Wow.
Patrick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Patrick, would you do me a favor? You are on with Cindy Honig and John Kessner. I need to go find something really quickly. Would you tell them about yourself real quick to the audience? I'm so freaking sorry.
Okay. Hey, how you doing?
Don't be alarmed if you hear like somebody vomiting. It's kind of normal, actually, around here.
Summer in the background.
It's just our host in the background. Go ahead.
So she must have had a good night. What would you like to know?
Everything. I mean, you know,
where'd you start?
I mean, where do you start at?
Well, I'm from New Jersey. Okay. I grew up in South Jersey in Willingboro. It's a suburb near Philadelphia, right over the bridge.
Okay, now at the time, now the big question to me always is, how does a kid in Jersey say, I'm going to do this, and then you do it? I mean, you know, you want to be an actor. How does that happen? I mean, just cut straight to that. That's what I'm interested in.
Well, as a kid in Jersey, I wanted to be a musician because I was a bass player. My mom's a musician. She's a pianist, and I was a bass player. Okay. So all my life, I played the bass guitar. I was in a lot of bands as a kid, you know. Uh-huh. And then I went off to college, won a football scholarship. So my bass kind of took a back seat to sports and played 4 years of college football. Then I moved to San Francisco with some friends from school who were actually in the acting program, were in the theater program. So I moved in with them and they were, you know, doing plays and I was coming to see them in a lot of plays. And then they convinced me to do a play with them. So I did a play, and that's when I kind of caught the bug and
you were hooked.
Started taking classes and doing theater in San Francisco and commercials and print stuff. And then
I'm cutting back in for a second. What is the most awesome thing you have ever done in as far as film? What's your favorite project you've ever done?
The most awesome thing? Well, this Tyler Perry show that I'm doing now was probably the most awesome thing, just meeting Tyler Perry and being on a hit show.
Well, that'll do it. I mean, Tyler Perry.
That's pretty awesome.
Tyler Perry's.
And he's a big dude, too.
Really?
Yeah, he's like 6'6 or 6'5. So when you see him, you're like, whoa.
He looks like a big guy. Even as Madea, he's like towering over everybody.
A big girl, yeah.
Yeah. So
and that takes us back to the Caitlyn Jenner thing. So let's move on from there.
Oops.
Okay.
We don't want to get back there.
So
I'm kind of curious though. Did you ever even think of acting before your friends talked you into it? Was that ever a consideration?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it as a kid. Actually in college I went and to a couple of open auditions. As a high school kid, me and a buddy of mine, who's actually out here acting, a friend of mine, Thomas Bell, that I grew up with, we were thinking about being strippers, male exotic dancers, and we went to this place to see if we could audition to be male dancers, and but we were, I was 17, he was 16, and they were like, get out of here.
Even underage strippers, guy strippers.
I just cut back in on underage strippers. You have my attention.
He auditioned to be an underaged male stripper.
And they turned him down.
Yeah, there isn't much call for that, I don't think.
I think that's a felony.
You're not 18, you can't really do that. So they told us to get out of
there. You're 18. There is
north of the Rio Grande, yes it is.
Except for Tracy Lords. She managed to make a career out of it.
Well, she had a big career before they figured out she was underaged.
Yeah. That's true.
And the FBI found that out.
They did. So what advice would you give somebody wanting to get into this industry, Patrick? It sounds like you came into it from a different direction and got involved with people that were in it. But what advice would you give to young actors pursuing this?
Well, start off like get in a good class and really learn your craft. So, and while you're doing it, you know, try to find like get your headshots done, find a commercial agent so you can kind of go out on commercial auditions while you're studying acting, while you're taking audition classes, while you're taking technique classes. And then as you get better, start doing some theater. And then try to get a theatrical agent and move on from there.
Yeah, because when you do theater, I found a lot of young actors in theater because, you know, you do showcases and that sort of thing where all the, you know, powers that be will come in and watch you because everybody's looking for, all agents are looking for talent. And that's a great way to start. Who do you study with, Patrick, in L.A.?
Well, I studied with Morgan Shepherd and Vincent Chase over in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really got the basis of my acting once I moved to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It sounds like for you it's serious craft. I'm going to come in from a very, very studio perspective. I always tell everyone before you get an agent, get a publicist. but seriously, that's my perspective, but I come from, you know, the very let's sell everything we can perspective.
Right. I got that later on.
You got that later. So, you're coming in from a very artistic perspective. What is it about being an actor that you enjoy so much?
Just being other characters and other than yourself. It's fun to transform and to try to think like someone else and be someone else. It's exciting.
And, you know, you probably know this too, Summer, but a lot of actors and actresses both are extremely, not all, but a lot are extremely shy. And so acting's really good for them because they just kind of blossom behind other characters.
Yeah, and it also takes you out of your comfort zone, it takes you out of your bubble.
Right.
I think it has some amazing applications there. Now, I'm going to ask, what was the strangest experience you've ever had on set?
Strangest experience. Let's see. Probably on Hot in Cleveland.
We like ratings here, so you know.
Hot in Cleveland.
If you made out with Betty White, we want to know.
Something along those lines. Well, I was in the makeup trailer, but Betty White was next to me and she eyes me up and gives me a little flirtatious proposition. So that's probably the most interesting.
Hit on by Betty White. Thing.
I want
to. But I mean, everything she says is like a joke, but it was pretty funny.
Did you tell her that you had auditioned to be an underage male stripper?
I didn't. She would like that.
Patrick, have you ever done any nude scenes?
Or
love scenes that were uncomfortable?
In some independent films, I did some love scenes, but we were under the covers, so we had a little, you know, underwear and stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
But they were fun.
Well, let me ask. We've had an ongoing debate for weeks and weeks now. And we talk about young actors and actresses getting into entertainment the Kardashian route, going in by sexually exploiting themselves to the umpteenth degree. What do you think about that? do you think that that is a reasonable route to get into Hollywood? I understand you're coming from the craft perspective, so I'd really like your opinion on it.
Well, I mean, it's not my path, but it is a path, and it seems like reality TV is very popular, and, you know, the Kardashians are making a lot of money from it. I mean, she exploited herself, but it paid off, you know.
But don't you think that L.A. is just filling up with really eager sluts now, thinking that that's a legitimate path?
I wouldn't have quite put it that way, John, but yes.
Well, I am here for a reason.
Yeah.
I think he put it perfectly because, you know, it's not, when you think about it, isn't it a little difficult to tell talent from the no talent? I mean, I think that the viewing public, they get confused. They're confused about that.
Well, what talent are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about talent versus no talent.
That girl's got talent.
That girl's got talent.
You mean the sex tape? Well, you know,
about a totally different talent here, Cindy.
I think you're right. But, you know, it's kind of like when I was working in Hollywood in television, you know, it was a... You didn't get anywhere if you came up with a sex tape. That was just a no-no. You know, you went the route where if you did sleep your way to the top, and if you were on the casting couch, you kept it as quiet as you possibly could. And nowadays, it seems to be celebrated. And, you know, that offends me, and I think it offends a lot of people. And I think that's why there are so many Kardashian haters. I really do. I think that that's...
Well, nobody respects them.
And I think from a female perspective that it makes things a lot harder. I mean, we're still looking at trying to get equal pay in the industry. Women don't. You know, I work with the producers I work with. I will get back to being subversive and complaining about my industry, and I will go back to throwing up over break. Guys, thank you for being with us on Behind the Scenes. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
All righty.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
I'd love to say thank you, Scott Haskin, for that beautiful music. I want to give a quick shout out to Finish It. It's a non-smoking program. Only 8% of teens are smoking now. That is down 23% in 2000 and 9% from last year. We can get it down to none. We can stop teens from smoking. We're already so close. If we join forces, smokers and non-smokers can end smoking once and for all. Go check it out at thetruth.com. I want to give a quick shout out to Pure PR. It's a boutique agency that makes people, places, and things famous. For more information, go to pureprokc.com or call 405-245-4668. Off-Road Rentals in Palm Springs, California, always giving away free stuff for Off-Road Rentals. They absolutely gives a ton of stuff to give away, so all the stuff you win, a lot of it comes from here. Check out offroadrentals.com. Griggs Vacuums, if your vacuum doesn't suck, ours do. We mention Griggs every week because it is Alexis's grandfather and my assistant puts it on the list. True Rest Float Spa Sedona, the science of feeling great. Try floating, guys. It makes a massive difference in your life. Check it out. And a special thank you to Cynthia Rowland and Facial Magic. Check out facialmagic.com. We are still giving away kits. We're giving away all kinds of things from Facial Magic. They are fantastic. I've been using it myself. I'll post some results this coming week. We are on with Patrick Fichette. Did I say that right?
Fossette.
I did not say that right. And
we are
talking about Hollywood. One of the things we're talking about before the break was how people are choosing to become famous and get into entertainment these days. It's nice to have a serious actor on with us because that gives that perspective. I mean, he's chosen to go a different route than a lot of people do. I personally have a problem with some of these girls going this route because I think women and minorities are still being paid substantially less in the industry. And I think that women doing this is not exactly helping our cause. What do you
think? It's always going to be that way, though.
You really think so?
Yeah, there's so much power. There's so much power and money and fame. You're dangling. People will cut their right arm off and give their soul to get what Hollywood offers. So, of course, it's always going to be that way.
But do you think that the discrepancy, the pay discrepancy that we're talking about right now, will always be there where women and minorities are making, 70 cents?
That I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that Hollywood is the most brightest, luminous fishing lure in the ocean, and everyone wants it. So, you know, it's just that there's always going to be that, you know. There's always going to be that discrepancy that there are people who will give everything to get it.
And
so.
As they get more women directors and women producers, then women will and start making more women-led movies. Then women's, you know, will go from that 70 per, you know, per dollar to 90 to maybe even 100.
Well, you have to. A lot of films now, especially films featuring women, are still male-centric in that it's a female-driven film is considered a film with a female lead. But I can tell you from just a studio perspective, I don't pick up films that are about the reality of a woman living her life. I will do it with the reality of a man living his life, but any film I pick up that is female-driven is either sold on sex or sold on the relationship and conflict between women and a man.
Well, good movie's going to sell no matter what it's about. It's going to sell.
Not necessarily true.
I don't think that's true.
There are great films that I can't get butts in those seats, so I won't touch them.
Well, I think if it's good, it's going to get word of mouth. And I don't think they make good movies. I don't think they make good movies anymore.
You're a writer. You care about content. I sell TNA. That's what I sell for.
Well, yeah.
Damn, that's why Kim Kardashian gets movie parts.
Yep.
Well, she doesn't get that big of movie parts. I think she was on CSI or something. By the way, Patrick played, this is like the 6th degree thing. Patrick played O.J. Simpson on a show, isn't that right?
You did not.
Yes.
Dude, that
yes,
hurt
I
your
did.
Face.
Pow.
That's like when I first came to L.A., it was like an Unsolved Mysteries type show. Where they did like recreation and they're talking about all the, you know, different ways that things may have happened. And
how long after the murders did you shoot that? Was that like a long time afterward or?
Yeah, it was like 10 years after.
So
that happened in 94, and I was like, yeah, it was like 10 years later that I did
it. So just out of curiosity, what was the conversations and stuff on the set about that was? Because, you know, we're at the point now where everyone's like, yeah, he did it. Of course he did it.
Yeah, I mean, well,
when I was
doing it, because we had to like, they had to stage it where she comes out and I'm, you know, I'm stabbing her, and then what's his name come, or no, we're
Ron,
fighting,
Ron Goldman.
And then Ron Goldman comes, and then he grabs me, and then I stab him first, and then she's getting up off the ground. So as I was doing it, I realized, you know, he definitely could have done it. You know, one person.
Yeah. You're getting into character going, damn, I killed my wife.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, my God, look what I've done.
I was in L.A. when that whole thing went down, and it was like, oh, he is so guilty.
First move to L.A., the first thing I did was like a DVD game where I was like an alien commander.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, everything stopped. All the production stopped, and everyone went outside and watched OJ driving down the highway on this little TV. Like, they stopped everything, and everyone came and crowded around the TV monitor to watch OJ drive down.
I was on the 405 that day. I was on the freeway when that happened.
Jeez.
I was there. I'm like sitting in traffic. I'm like, what is going on? There's not one single car on the other side, and there's 10 billion people stopped on this side. This better be good.
I consulted with the Brown family when that trial was going on.
Really? And I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't talk about it a lot, but it was very painful for me. Judy Brown confided an awful lot in me during that time, because we talked a lot about during the trial when it was going on, and she said to me that, and I can say this all these years later, she said to me, you know, Cindy, I knew he had done it when I found out that he cut my baby's implants out.
Ouch.
Yeah, that wasn't released in the news.
How did he know it was him when he removed the implants?
Because he always talked about he paid for those, her boobs.
I was going to say, he paid for them. So,
yeah, he paid for them. He always
I never heard that.
I know. Yeah. And I never had either. And she told me that during that trial. We talked so often on the phone, and I drive to Dana Point, and you know, she loved Suzanne Summers, and so I would take her boxes of Buttmaster so she could give her friends for Christmas and that sort of thing. I liked her so much. I was not a fan of the rest of the girls. Tanya, the youngest one, was delightful. The other girls, I couldn't get close to, and Mr. Brown was very difficult to get close to too. But Judy was very, very open, and I will never forget when the verdict came down. All of us at the office were in the conference room listening to it, and I got to tell you, I had the worst letdown. And I ran to my office, and the phone was ringing, and it was Judy calling me, and she said, "Now, Cindy, it's okay, because now my next fight is I must keep the children. I got to keep the children." And of course, that didn't work out. You know, she had to turn them over to OJ. But during that time, you all, they had to sneak the children before he was in the joint, let's say, and before, you know, he went to jail and afterwards, so the media wouldn't get to them. They would exchange those children at the top of Mulholland in the middle of the night. And it was just a very...
For those that don't know, Mulholland is a very, very famous street in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and that's where they would exchange the children. She wanted to keep those children so badly, and of course she couldn't. I don't have any contact with her now. But, you know, it was interesting because that evening... At 4 o'clock, I had to be at the Leno show because Suzanne Summers was doing the Tonight Show. And I was so low, and I got there, and I was in her dressing room, and Jay had sent beautiful flowers in a fruit basket, and it looked lovely. And I'm just sitting there, and Suzanne walks in, and she went, "What is the matter with you?" And I went, "Well, you didn't hear the verdict this morning?" She said, "Now, don't you dare get all upset about that." She goes, "Let me tell you something. That man would have gone to jail and been a superstar in that prison, and karma's going to get him." And sure enough,
you got him.
Look, kid. Licked. It took some time, but, and I don't know, Patrick, if you were in LA at the time, but John, you were, and do you remember that he was just shunned during that time? I remember being in I think it was either at the Bistro Gardens or Spago, and he came in, and he was absolutely forced out because, but nobody would seat him or wait on him.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So his life was over.
Yeah. I'm just fascinated, Patrick. I mean, you had a story about when the OJ thing happened, and then
yeah,
10 years later,
everybody
you're playing.
Knows where they were. I know.
what was that like?
It was.
Yay,
it was kind
I'm
of weird.
OJ.
It was really weird. Well, you know, you're a new actor. You'll play everything they give you. And I was like, oh. And then I have a picture of me and the girl that played Nicole, and she looked exactly like her too.
Did she? Who was that girl?
So it was really eerie. What was her name?
She must have not gone anywhere.
Yeah, no, she left LA. She left LA. Her name
was
Anna.
That's your story, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's your story, and you stick into it.
Patrick, I think that was very brave of you as an actor because
because you think, oh, am I ever going to work again? And,
yeah, am I going to be typecast? Sure. That was a tough role to play, I'm sure.
After that, I grew a goatee, and then, you know, nobody thought I was like OJ for a while.
Where did you shoot? Did you shoot on location anywhere near the Bundy house or the Rockingham estate?
We didn't. We shot in Silver Lake at this property that looked like it. And mm-hmm. then what we did drive in the Bronco around that area.
You did. I bet that was-
Guys, we are going to break. We'll be right back with Behind the Scenes. Stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi guys, welcome back to Behind the Scenes. I'm your host, Summer Helene. And I'm now secretly sitting here eating soup while we talk about O.J. Simpson. And I'm trying to get my voice back.
You know, the thing is, I want to kind of get away from O.J. because that's really, I think the third act is over on that one, I think. And we can thank the state of Nevada for that, by the way. I've been in that courtroom. I was there for a case, not because I was, you know, personally involved. But anyway, that judge that threw the book at O.J., holy cow, she's really good at throwing books.
Boy, she was good, wasn't she?
Jackie Glass. Yeah. Judge Jackie Glass. But anyway, I want to get back, Patrick, as far as, like, your career now. This is a big question that I have, you're at a point now where you're, like, working with Tyler Perry and, you know, things are going on. How much of a role do you have in that? I mean, this is a big question I think a lot of people have because they want to get agents and they think the agent or the publicist or these people that are now in their, you know, wheelhouse, whatever they call it, they think that now it's going to happen and you leave it to other people. How much do you have to do now with taking the next step, getting the next job, getting the next booking?
Well, you always have to be ready. You know, with your skills and with your craft. Because when I was with an agent for a long time, I wasn't getting many auditions. And I'm also a physical therapist. So one of my patients came in, and she was on the phone. And she's, like, talking, selling an actor, saying, oh, he's a series regular on blah, blah, blah. And then she got off the phone and said, are you an agent? And she said, no, she's a manager. So then she became my manager. I said, okay, you managed my career. I'll fix your shoulder. You can fix my career. So then first thing she sent me on, I booked it. So then I started going out because she was really pushing me and getting me in front of the people I needed to be in front of to where, you know, ultimately, you know, got in front of Tyler Perry's casting people. And I auditioned for a couple of other Tyler Perry shows before I actually got the haves and have nots, and then finally booked that show. And then from there, kind of took off because it was only supposed to be one episode. And then it turned into, I've done like 17 or 18
yes,
episodes.
Yes, because they liked you. They liked you. You worked well with them. And they found a way to use you. And I also think, and I tell all my clients this, you do need to be working on behalf of your career. And of course, you've got to have a good team. You've got to have the best team. But guess what? You got to get out there and network. You need to be going to lunch in the places to where you know that all the, you know, the studio people and casting directors hang out. You know, you've got
to. Yeah, you have to meet everyone.
You have to, and you have to be, you know, willing and able to be doing something every, and I say you.
Hello?
Oops.
I'm sorry. I muted myself for some reason. You need to get to the point to meet at least, I say, start out meeting one new person a week. Take them to lunch, take them to dinner, you know, and always pick up the check because nobody remembers what they ate for lunch or dinner, but they always remember who picked up the check. And do that as often as you can afford to do it. And people remember you. And when a part comes up, you know, they'll think, oh, God, remember that kid that, you know, he would be perfect for this. Because you're out there and people are seeing you.
Yeah, and if you're on their mind, I mean, when that part comes through in their mind, you're the one that they think of.
And always send a thank you note. If you get an audition, even if they don't hire you, that's okay. They'll remember you. Send a thank you note. Send flowers if you can. Whatever.
Yeah, every, like, Christmas, I always send Kim Coleman. She's the one that cast me in the Have and Have Not. I sent her a big bottle of champagne.
There you go. Good for you. I wish you were my client.
It's great.
I know what you're doing.
Remember people that way.
Yeah.
You really do. And I know that sounds strange to people trying to get into Hollywood, but that is the bare bones of it. The person that they like and the person that they remember is the person they are going to work with. Every time,
that's right.
No
people,
exceptions.
And here's a fact. This is a fact in PR. People work with and hire people they know, like, and trust. It is a fact. He who has the relationship gets the part, wins the client, all of that stuff. It happens 90% of the time.
On top of that, though, there is a good reason for it. If you trust someone, You're talking about a lot of money that does belong to you, you're investing. So for executives, directors, producers, your friend, the person you know, the person you trust is always a safe bet because they're going to be on time, they're going to be easy to work with, and they're going to make you money.
That's right. They're going to respect your time frame. And the fact that you tired them.
Yeah.
So you're on the right path, Patrick.
Thank you.
If you ever get tired of your own publicist, call me. Who is your publicist, by the way?
Marie Lamel with Platinum PR.
Okay, good boy. I think you're in good hands. I wish I could say you weren't.
Yeah, she's a hard worker.
Yeah. I think you're in good hands.
Yeah, no, that was a very good move for me to get a publicist because she really gets me out there, helps me meet all the people I need to meet.
That's right.
She'll see someone, director, oh, boom, she will go up, introduce me. Oh, this is Patrick. He plays so-and-so in the Have and Have Not. This is so-and-so. You guys need to meet. And she's really good at that. Or else I would never do it, you know.
You know what? Nope. It would be a good thing for you to do. Take her to lunch once every week or two. Because, you're going to piggyback on the good PR that she gets herself at lunch and meet the people that she knows. And, B, she's going to love you because you're taking her to lunch every so often.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
It is.
Trust me. I've been doing this.
Since my character on the Have and Have Nots has a kidney problem, she was pitching me to donate life to be a spokesperson for kidney donation.
That's an even better idea.
In the midst of pitching me, they were, you know, I met with them. They were not interested in having a celebrity, I guess, because they had celebrities before that had a problem. But at the time, they were producing a movie. So they put me in touch with the director of the movie that they were producing about kidney donation. And the director was a fan of the show and wrote me into the movie. Big thanks to my publicist for that one.
And like I tell everyone, get a bloody publicist. And on top of that, Hollywood is all about relationships. You may be spending time with someone you don't think is in your realm, but Hollywood is very, very small.
Yeah, and that director is doing two more movies, and he's already asked me to be in both of them. So
of course he's going to, because he likes working with you.
Yeah.
I love that. Good luck. Perfect.
See, I think it's brilliant, and it's something we tell our audience every week. The most important thing is to get yourself out there and build relationships.
Once you make a relationship, you got to nourish it.
Yep.
Yeah. I just have made myself a networking Bible where I have to follow up with people, every week, every month, following up, make sure that you continue the relationship.
Yeah, and make sure you know everybody's birthday and
one thing I will say from my own experience, don't just call them, especially if you make friends with executives, publicists, anyone that can put you in a better position. Don't just call them when you need something. Do exactly what you said and take them to lunch occasionally.
Yeah, definitely. Stay on their mind.
So what would you like to do next, Patrick? Where would you like to go next?
I would love to do an action movie.
Yeah?
I would love to do something where I'm saving the world, where I'm shooting and running and doing being a hero.
But I bet that's coming your way.
I hope so.
All right, guys, we have about 4 minutes left. I'm going to say, Patrick, can you give me three sentences? What advice would you give to aspiring actors, models, singers, musicians, whatever, anyone wanting to be in the entertainment industry? 3 sentences, what advice would you give them?
Learn your craft, be persistent, and never give up.
Guys, learn your craft, be persistent, never give up. Cindy, your verdict on that?
Well, my verdict is build relationships, nourish them, cultivate them. Never stop that.
All right. So build relationships, cultivate them, nurture them. So what we've learned today, guys, is pretty simple. John, you're a writer. You want to add anything in?
I think that about covers it. I mean, you know, you just keep going and love what you do. I mean, if you do, you know, if you learn to hate it, and if it creates nothing but stress and costs you everyone in your life, you know what? Go with what makes you happy. And I mean, that's important. I mean, you know, yeah, they'll take your soul. They'll take your life. They'll take you. They'll spit you out. But you know what? Have a life. I mean, I have a life I've really enjoyed. And you know, I never hated it. And that's it. I know a lot of people who do, unfortunately. And
that's what it's a tough business. You just have to remember why you do it.
You got to love it. And have the soul of a fairy and the hide of a rhinoceros, guys. You got to have some thick hide.
I don't know if I go that far. Let's calm down here.
No, it's. I say it's the soul of a fairy. You got to have the soul of an artist and the hide of a rhinoceros.
Can you find another gentle thing to maybe slip in there?
Okay.
It's just I'm from Ohio. Come on,
All right. Let's say the soul of an artist, the hide of a politician.
I think we're all on board with that one.
Very good.
I gotta go home once a year, face these people. It's like, soul of a fairy, huh? Is that what they did to you out there?
All right.
We knew it. We knew that would happen.
Patrick, thank you so much. If people want to find you, where can they find you? Real quick.
They can find me on Twitter at Patrick Fawcett, on Instagram at Patrick Fawcett, and Facebook at Patrick Fawcett Actor.
Guys, just Google Patrick Fawcett. You'll find him everywhere, apparently.
I'm everywhere.
He's everywhere. And always, check out Pure PR. Get your PR tips daily. Thank you, John Kessner. I'm Summer Helene, and this was Behind the Scenes. See you next week.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Thank you.